do roll call.
Okay. All right. Diane?
I'm here remotely in district. just.
Okay. Dan?
Hi.
Reed?
Here.
Joanne?
Yeah.
And Greg?
Here. Okay, so we will look at the consent items. Has everybody reviewed them?
Yeah.
Notice there are a few negatives in the finances. Those aren't alarming in any way. This one's roads, you know, we spent a lot on that.
There was a couple in there, but they were
not an issue.
Real high.
Including the accounting, right? And that was for office expense. Okay. Any other comments on the consent items? If not, do I have a motion to approve them and enumerate them one by one?
I would see, do we have the consent items?
Yes. Here's.
Okay. I would like to make a motion for the approval of the agenda for the regular board meeting April 14, 2026, approval of the March 10, 2026 regular board meeting minutes, and approval of the monthly expenditures from March 2026.
I'll second it.
Okay, roll call. Reed?
Hi.
Diane?
Hi.
Dan?
Hi.
Joanne?
Hi.
Greg?
Hi. Sorry,
did
you
take notes
on this that we approved it or something?
Yeah. It was just, Dan
made the motion.
It was just Dan and then, was it Joanne?
Joanne seconded.
Dan and Joanne.
Okay, reports. 49er water. Shane.
Yes.
It's coming.
It's coming.
So overall, the plant's running pretty darn good. Harry said it's just flawless right now. Really low final turbidity, 0.02. Usage is starting to go up with the springtime, which we fully expected. And I'm sorry, I can't even see the screen. So he's been doing a lot of spring cleaning up at the plant. He did a bunch of weed whacking, and then the resident over at 5168 wanted him to weed whack that, so he did that as well. So that trail's all taken care of.
It's just more this road, right?
Yeah, yeah. And he said there was a trail that led in between, and so he weed whacked all that area too. So
everybody's dog.
Yeah, exactly. but one thing he was asking was he's just having a hard time making the time to get down to the shed to move it up there. I have a guy that'll do it. He's like $50 an hour, and wondering if that would be just the best route to go to get that thing up there, because he'd like to get up there as well. But
probably takes an hour or less.
Yeah, it wouldn't even take that long. A couple hours to disassemble and take up there. So I was wondering if that might be a possibility, just bring in a third party to move it up there and get it done.
If you guys are good with it, I can just approve it. You don't have to vote on it.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Yeah,
just
long.
To get it up.
Yeah, exactly. Get it done. Yeah. Yeah. We did have another leak on Mary. Lorraine came out and they fixed that pipe. That pipe has had multiple issues. This time it was just a hole right in the pipe. It looked like a rock just adjusted and punctured it.
Mm.
What pipe was that?
It's a little 1¼-inch that runs down Mary near.
I'd say.
Yeah, it's that same one we've had three different leaks on now.
Mary and Thomas.
Yeah.
That one.
Mm-hmm.
So I was actually talking to Jerry about it, and that whole pipe, he replaced it from about halfway down to the bottom of the hill, but that first section hasn't been replaced, and he's thinking it might be a good idea at some point to actually have that line redone, just so we stop getting these stupid little pipe breaks. It's not in sand or anything, so any earth adjustments or anybody driving over it, all that stuff is going to puncture it. Yeah. So we were thinking perhaps get a bid to do it right. I did talk to Ring a little bit about it, and they said they could get me a number. It's just, they're a little behind right now.
Should we do the typical with bid three, and is it a big enough project?
It's actually pretty
small. It's a small project, yeah. Yeah, I can't imagine it costing too much, but yeah. So I could
get a bid from Boring
and Triton
and Hydrators.
Or yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Because Jerry said it was too big for him to assist with. But
so then Triton.
But Triton I could get, yeah. If I can get him to call me back.
So I have to just go to his car.
Right, exactly.
For the June meeting then could we have
yeah.
a bid? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll talk to them and at least Lorraine, he did say if it's not an emergency it might be a little bit delayed. But yeah, we can do that. And then let's see, had some service line leaks, nothing exciting. The one at 2305, we still need to get out to and actually replace right at the curb stop, the valve right there. It's leaking at the curb stop, but it's a minor leak. So I'm actually working on getting another person hired to assist Terry on all this kind of stuff. And but he hasn't signed on yet, so just kind of waiting for that. And then down the summary. Sorry.
Oh yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, so I talked to Jerry a lot about this one. He doesn't think a ground penetrating radar is going to work. When that pipe broke, when we were down there, that's another pipe that wasn't put in properly or to code because it was so long ago. So there's no sand around it. So he said you could literally drive in the machine over it and looking for a 6-inch pipe. There's no contrast in the soil to identify the pipe. So he had a suggestion to call a Witcher and see if a Witcher could do it. I did talk to a Witcher that I know, and he has his doubts because this pipe's AC as opposed to steel, and he would rely on the steel to kind of get that magnetic whatever makes the sound, whatever makes the stick switch. But yeah, so he wasn't too confident. He said he'd be happy to come out and try. He is in the middle of some other family stuff going on right now, so it would probably be like 2 to 3 weeks before he could get out there. But aside from, I mean, ground penetrating radar is going to be expensive. Jerry didn't think it would be that accurate. And then other than that, we could dig pilot holes. We tried a locator, but again, the pipe doesn't have the string on it for locating, so couldn't do that either. So Jerry's thought was, unless we're willing to spend quite a bit of money, I mean, it might be just an educated guess as to where the pipe is and what to do.
So look for another district that I talked to both sides of the thing. So many pipes are not bedded correctly in sand and whatnot. And sometimes the best way to find it is just to let it leak.
It's true.
Where is it? Well,
there it is.
Yeah. So I don't know that the ground penetrating radar would be that great. Jerry really doesn't think so either. But I can try the Witcher. He said he'd be happy to just come out and do it for us, not charge us for it. But again, that's probably 2 to 3 weeks out. He's dealing with a family friend that.
That'll be before the next meeting.
Right, yeah.
We'll try it.
Yeah, so we can give it a shot and see. For possible improvements, Harry was saying the paint's starting to come off at the buildings, the shed and stuff. He was wondering about getting someone out there to put a fresh coat of paint on everything. And then some just basic cleanup of branches and things like that at the plant and small trees. And again, I do have a person that can assist with that if need be. I don't know if you guys have a tree contractor.
We do have a tree guy.
Okay.
Our old tree company.
Okay. Yeah.
They've consistently been the lowest bid.
Okay.
Perfect. The trees first and then the painting.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's nothing of a rush or anything.
So
it's just,
what needs to be painted? The little shed?
Exactly. There's the shed up at the pump house or by the storage tanks, and then there's a little shed in the back of the plant, and then there's two other buildings right there. And so the paint's just starting to come off, and just keep it all
it's just flaky.
Nice looking. Yeah.
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 Do we have any painters we haven't come across this any
That's one of the handyman kind of.
I have a handyman that does all sorts of stuff for me. And we use them at spring sites and stuff, and
okay.
there's, I actually talked to him today, and he said he'd be happy to come out and take a look for the painting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Give us a bid.
Yeah.
And give a price. Yeah.
Okay, for again,
yeah.
for the next meeting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
So. Mm-hmm.
And we actually have a budget meeting next week.
I know,
so
I'd like him to get out before
yeah.
that, and he's going to try.
Yeah, if you could get it in writing, that would be
perfect.
Ideal.
Okay.
Otherwise, we're just going to shoot in the dark.
Right.
I mean, he said this. Well,
yeah.
amnesia takes.
Right.
Well, I noticed the budget meeting. I think it was on the calendar on the website. I just saw the committee one. So now here's a 22nd.
So the budget meeting's on the 19th.
Yeah, could we put it also? Because that's where public needs to know about it.
Yeah,
so.
it'll get. Yeah, I'll be posting the agenda and stuff.
Okay, and then it'll appear on here. Okay.
Exactly.
Okay, great. Okay.
Hey, Tom. Is public allowed to chime in on like, or
oh, yeah.
am I out? I was just going to throw a suggestion, but
yeah.
on the pipe locating,
mm-hmm.
two options I have that potentially, one would be...
Yourself? Does everyone know who you are?
I'm Brandon Pierce. Live here in Christian Valley. I work for City of Nevada City as a chief plant operator there.
Oh.
Formerly City of Sacramento Utilities and Grass Valley Utility Manager. On that one, I was thinking two options. One, if you can end up getting water flowing through the pipe, you can actually use listening devices commonly. They can even be to the simple pucks. Just stethoscope, basically, set them down there, open up a hydrant, get the turbulence moving, and you can actually sometimes walk down a pipe to listen for it.
Okay.
Other one is if you can isolate and shut down the water pipe. We've used in the past, like Grass Valley, we'd use a metal rod, and we'll enter the pipe with a metal rod, and then you can use a utility line locator to that.
Okay.
And then you can end up tracing it.
A metal rod that's kind of bendable?
Yep.
Okay.
So we would use like a long fissure tape on a big reel, and we'd shut down a water main, stick it in like AC pipe, or pipe that was never with trace wire, and we'll run it down, and then you can use a utility locator, because you'll put an electrical charge on that one.
Okay.
And then you can end up locating your pipe.
Would you like go through
a great idea.
Yeah.
Get into the pipe?
You can open up, sometimes like we'll access where there's a valve or if there was a break or something like that. Normally if we've found like an AC pipe that had a failure and we're doing a repair, we'll open up because it's already shut down and then we'll run a trace wire.
I see, when it's broken.
Yeah, so there's other options of tying in through services and trying to feed down through a service. But most commonly if you shut down the water main, then you'll be able to access generally by opening up into it.
I see.
Okay.
But different other options.
Yeah. Do you know who might have that equipment?
Public Works, we have a utility locator. There are a lot of companies that can come out to do utility locators. And then like there's quite a few companies with Sacramento as well that do listening devices.
Okay.
Yeah, they were doing a lot of leak detection.
Okay.
Is what essentially they use it for most commonly.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, we could talk more too.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll call you tomorrow or something.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You bet.
Yeah.
No
cool.
problem.
Yeah.
So
and we'll shut down
reach
water for days.
So we've known each other a while, and he's actually our laboratory for the city. So I deal with his company.
Gotcha.
He does get around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So were you done with your report?
I am. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Don's up.
Yeah, so we haven't heard back from the FAP grant yet, which is not a great sign. But usually they just kind of post winners and losers and just go from there, but haven't heard anything. A letter's been sent to the Sheriff's Department and for the speeding down on Stanley, on the far end of Stanley. And just a little update on that. The big crash that happened wasn't an out-of-control 16-year-old. It was a 50-something-year-old lady who had a major seizure.
Ooh.
And speed humps would actually have made it worse.
Oh.
On that. You know what I mean? She went off the road, took out a bunch of fence, went across the road, took out a bunch of another bunch of fences. And it was like 10:30 or so in the morning. And when all the kids should be at school.
Wow.
And so anyway, this is in the works. Kind of expecting them to write a letter back to us. Usually different agencies respond in like manner.
You
send them a letter, they send you a letter.
Could you circulate the letter to us?
Oh, if we get one.
No, the one you sent.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, just so we can see. Not here, but you know, just in the email.
And so then the propane tank repair. Last month, the Tempura gave an $870 bid to redo the valves and whatnot. And I just called the propane company that I have, American River Propane, and it was about $300. And they actually took the tank to their site because when they change out the valves and whatnot, and it's a the district owns the tank.
Okay.
And when they do that,
they have to
transfer all the
pressure.
Gas over
yeah.
to another tank, and then but then there's still the vapor.
The residual.
They have to burn that off, and then they replace
maybe
everything, and then they recharge it. So when they brought it back out, there's a leak, and the leak is somewhere in the carburation part of the generator, and so anyway we've talked about it. We'll fix it around that, and so hopefully it'll be done in the next couple of days. There's a kit to buy or whatever, hopefully the generator will be back online, and then they'll come back out, do a pressure test, and then fill it up.
So what's the fix for the leak?
What's?
How are they going to fix the leak? And
going to put another shut off valve.
Okay.
In the right spot. Because
the leak was in the valve?
It's in the carburetor at some point.
So how does the valve?
On the generator itself.
Yeah.
Okay. But
so
the leak.
So it's like
it's still
spend thousands of dollars to replace a carburetor where the leak is very, very minute.
Oh, I see. So only
put,
when it's so you get the when you're operating, you get the small leak. You don't care.
Right.
But then like okay. All right.
But the other thing is that we don't have an automatic transfer switch for the water treatment plant, and so they have to do everything by hand anyway. So
okay.
having one more valve, you gotta turn
just
to get everything going.
No.
Just like
cool.
Well, that's just one more valve.
Big fix.
But the other tank is actually leased, which so if the district wants to look at that at some point to buy our own tank so we can, you know, we're not just stuck with Campora. So anyway, it's just something to think about.
So we have two.
Yeah, we have one at the tank site and then one at the treatment plant.
Oh.
They're like half a mile or three quarters of a mile away from each other.
Okay.
So anyway, that's that part. And letter's been sent to the DSK regarding.
Oh, did you do the
demand?
Okay, so you did the access road. Okay.
So did we? Did
oh,
did, can we? When was the letter sent?
Like a week ago or so.
You haven't heard anything yet.
No.
Can we get a copy of the letter so we know what was said? You know,
that was
yeah.
the one that I signed, right? Yeah,
right.
Just passing
yeah.
around everybody. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't.
Yeah, just for Brown Act, it wasn't in the transaction part, but we didn't want to include everybody, right? But then once I signed it, then he was passing everybody, right?
Okay. And let's see.
They haven't responded yet.
Right. Which is no shocker.
Yeah, they'll just try.
So how many days did you give them to respond?
They have 15.
15?
Yeah.
Okay, sometimes it's 10. Only have to give 10 days, just as FYI.
And we just talked about the speed hump, so we're good on that.
Emergency access.
And I put that in there in case we got a late update, and so far the man who had come that he was going to head up getting the county to sign on a no harm, no foul, or whatever that is, that to say that hold harmless the district if we're going to rock that Emma Lane and you know,
okay,
grade
so
and rock it.
It has nothing to do with the speed humps.
That's
over for the water to get out through that sort of grown over area that we were talking about.
Yeah, and to take the lock off of the gate because it should be a bump gate if it's an emergency exit.
Is the lock on it? Have you seen it?
That's what he said.
Oh,
the guy
okay.
said when he was here, he said the
oh,
gate
okay.
is locked.
Okay.
And
I'll go out and look at it.
We can't have a locked
right.
gate for an emergency exit. It has
yeah.
to be a bump gate.
So on our website, we have a bunch of exits, emergency exits, and in, usually it's in case of fire. And one of them that fireman just down the street here, he said, you know what, I think going to the CCC is the best idea. Because it's just like all pavement and, you know,
right.
it's just, you know, if you can't get out,
go
this
there.
Is a good place.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
yeah.
absolutely, okay.
Yeah, it's just another
And all
another
these buildings
option.
Are fire hardened too, right?
Yeah.
Bring our suitcases.
Don't need your sleeping bag.
On the TSK, but related,
yes.
I didn't see it in here. Are we still pursuing the fire hydrant issue similarly?
Yes, I was going to ask that because
okay. yeah.
it was supposed to be.
To keep on that.
Okay, so that'll be like a next.
Did
month.
You do a letter to them yet?
We're on that. We're working on that.
Okay.
okay.
So it'll be the same kind
yeah.
of thing. You'll send me a letter, blah, blah, blah.
Okay. Yeah.
And then you'll go after the bond and. You know.
Yeah, and at the budget meeting, I'm going to have one more agenda item on there to formalize the complainer, and that's what Scott was talking about. That last month, we didn't have an actual vote on
right.
pursuing
we
bonds,
right.
so we'll have one on the next, at the budget meeting.
Okay,
to formally
we'll do it there, as a side issue, right?
There wasn't a motion and a vote
right.
It was just
chatting about it.
Yeah,
yeah.
So.
Because Dan said we'll do that same thing with the
right.
that
we'll do
company.
It with both of them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. Any board member information? Sometimes, Diane, you have things?
Yes, I do, Chair. I had attended the Mid County Water Purveyors meeting, the quarterly one that PCWA hosts, on April 30th. And it was reported that the FAP award would be announced May 21st. All our projects in terms of any. That need to be archived, should be archived by June 15th, deadline for those. And just as a passing, they were discussing Heather Glenn, and they had just gotten a $17.7 million grant or funding from the state, I guess, to allow them to do 4 miles of 12-inch pipe from Weimar to Heather Glen. And I just thought that was pretty poignant for only 4 miles, $17,700,000. I just wanted to bring that to your attention. That's where we've gotten to. So that was kind of it. And then I just had made a mention to PCWA about any letting all the special districts that are water purveyors in on any discussions regarding any AI data centers. And because it's been a pet peeve of mine now, and I've brought it up to the Board of Supervisors today, that now states that have been inundated with these AI data centers are scrambling. And even Florida, Ron DeSantis just put legislation through and signed it, trying to protect water because these data centers are using 30
yeah.
to 50
yeah.
million gallons of water a day.
They're thirsty and they're hungry for power.
evaporative. So I was, yeah, and the power is a whole nother thing. So anyways, I'm trying to watch out for us, and because there's some rumblings in Placer County about a possible AI data center going in somewhere in Roseville. So, or between the Roseville corridor. And so that's a, you know, we have to stop it at the ground level before the land is purchased, because the other states are feeling that pain point between all of the infrastructure gets put back on the surrounding communities, but the water is a huge problem. So anyways, I yield with that, y'all.
Thank you, Diane.
Thank you, Diane.
Now we have comments from the audience on items not on the agenda.
So if you guys have any comments.
Nope.
Can you see? Oh, yeah. We'll just watch for hands.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I have something.
Yeah.
So I wanted to, like, talk as a board about, like, getting a procurement card for you and Scott.
Yeah. I was actually
like,
wondering
is that like
on the next
card?
Agenda.
It's a credit card.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That would actually save me a lot of pain, because then we could put a lot of regular bills on that.
Mm-hmm. I looked at the CSDA website, and I actually found a flyer, and I sent it to Don about that. Because right now, Don and Scott, if they need to buy something, they're just using their personal credit card or whatever.
Well,
and then they
right,
submit the receipt.
We need to fix
just
that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, we could have a district, they call them P-cards,
right.
You know, in the government speak. But you know, just have like a P-card for Don and Scott, and then they go out and there'd be like, it's just a credit card, right? So you get a monthly statement and get paid, and maybe...
And it's good for a record keeping.
It's way better, right?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. And maybe Placer County has the P-card.
Oh, it's part of the
maybe. I have no idea, but
okay.
Maybe, huh? Who knows?
Yeah.
That would be a good question to ask.
Yeah, ask them first, and if not, then find the other means of getting it. Just banks.
Yeah,
because
I'm sure they're going to want to reconcile the P card as a separate transaction.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. That's why I'm saying maybe they would like,
yeah,
it would
nice
like integrate in something like that.
Yeah,
I have no idea.
A lot. We could do that, that'd be a lot simpler for everybody.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think you could also put spending limits on that too.
Oh, sure.
So, like, you know,
cap it.
You can cap any single purchase at, like, you know, whatever, $2,000 or $220, whatever you want. But
our policies.
That could be, you know, so there's a lot. I don't see any downside personally, and I think it would make it a lot better. So,
yeah. Thank you for
a business charge card.
Do we need a motion for that? Or it's,
no,
we can't vote on it. And then next agenda. Maybe at the next, at the budget meeting.
Yes.
Perfect topic for the budget meeting, too.
Right.
Okay. Anything else? Comments? Anybody? All right, now we're into discussion action items. Number one, the board will discuss the threat assessment for trees or anything that comprises.
There was one more thing about that line that we were just talking about. You
the
know,
detection
that,
thing?
You were talking about that, you know, using sound. Was that there's no guide wire in there. When they were fixing a leak and put in the, there wasn't a guide wire.
Yeah,
so
it's a tracer.
A tracer.
Tracer wire.
Yeah. Oh, guide wires are on the top.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. So anyway,
so with guide
that, that would have been a nice metal detector issue. And,
oh, because some lines do have such wires that you can just trace, right? But
yeah.
But instead, we can just shove something through there and charge it, right? And then,
yeah.
Then you,
yeah.
Basically, using the same concept. Instead, normally they'll wrap like a C900 plastic pipe. When they do all new installs, they'll take a just a copper wire down the pipe, and then they stub it up out of the ground, and they'll put a electrical box
mm-hmm.
on it and charges it. So we just use it when they didn't have them on like concrete pipes. We'd open them up and then run a wire down and do same concept. It's just inside the pipe, following it.
Yeah.
Made it kind of easier, but.
Right.
Are there depth constraints to that, or?
Generally about 15 feet.
Oh, yeah. It's not that deep.
And then there is a length constraint. Usually you want to have like the connection points about 600 feet apart about.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wait, I didn't quite understand. What's so length, so like, you know, you'd have like a box with the bare wires every 600 feet.
Because the current diminishes, or
you're going to isolate that section instead of it running.
Yeah, you get out 200-300 feet, 400-500. The further you go, you start feeling like you're tracking something wrong, and you can start carrying to something else, thinking you're still on it, but you lose your signal.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'll send your underground trail.
An electric eel underground or something.
Those
there are such new species.
Okay.
So this kind of a side topic. You could, so like when these breaks occur, I know for the sewer district I work for, when the breaks occur and it's on older force mains and stuff, we'll throw in what's called locator balls. And so it's just like a green thing. It's like RFID technology.
Oh.
And so you start backfilling and you put that locator ball about 3 feet from surface level. And then you have your locator wand that does your wires. It will also find your locator balls too. So as you replace your pipe, you put in locator
balls.
And they have smart ones that you can put like a bunch of information, or they have dumb ones that just beep as you go over and it just pops up in RFID.
Are they passive power wise? They'll always.
Correct. That's what the RFID
technology
is. It's a passive power. So. Mm-hmm. But
so
you have to have that wand, right? So if the district doesn't have a wand, and then like you gotta have a stash of those locator balls as those breaks occur, you just
so we should maybe make it as a matter of policy when we replace them, just stick those in there.
Are
they very
how
expensive?
How much does the wand cost?
Several thousand.
The wand, right?
The wand
the units
itself.
Though, or
the balls.
Yeah.
I don't know the exact price of that, but I definitely know the locator wand is several thousand.
But probably rentable somewhere, I would imagine. Because you're going to be doing this too
long. The thing, though, is like your locator ball, you want to make sure that your wand is compatible.
Okay.
So you wouldn't want to just rent, you'd want to have like
an
the same brand exactly as your ball, as your locator ball and your wand and stuff.
Okay.
It's just like the vet with the chip. Yeah, exactly. It's a big version of a chip.
Every one.
Oh, really? They're different? I didn't know that. It's not standard. Okay. Wow.
Anyway, sorry about that.
That's a good idea.
That's a good idea.
Okay, and so we were going to talk about the trees or anything for the water main along Ross and William Court, the threat assessment.
Well, that's kind of goes
with what we're, with what we're talking about, yeah.
We
have to find it first.
Yeah, or let it be. The water, the access road between, you know how I was saying there's like half a mile or so between the water plant and the tank site?
Okay.
There's easement, but the road, the district's been around for 60 some odd years, and the road has, it doesn't match the easement very well. It's kind of
so it goes kind of like that.
So would it
at least
be like,
we have resistance. And so anyway,
could we discuss this last time?
Yeah, the last action we were going to do on that is, I'm trying to remember.
Well, it was to talk to Margaret, and she's putting together
so we're
a proposal on what she thinks the best steps would go. But she did, when she talked to Scott just the other day, it was a few days ago, she said, it's all expensive to get that prescriptive easement along there. But she's going to do a little research and give us a proposal.
on the road that we're using.
So part of the idea was just
we have
to extend the easement to include the road.
The road surveys.
Okay, we're just trying to build roads.
Well, I mean, we'll hear from Margaret, so we'll
just tell us if we match that, but we'll have to have the other easement because that's where the pipe is.
Oh, right.
And the other thing is that whole thing about the fire, the clearing of the easement for fire.
So one of those big trees was on this man's property.
I remember he didn't want to cut.
And he's totally fine with us taking out the stag or where
he was. Yeah, there's a snag, but then the other one he said he wanted to save, though there was two of them there.
Yeah, that was a different guy.
That was a different guy.
Yeah, that one's like in the road.
Okay.
And at some point we'll just have to say, sorry, it's dead now, but anyway. Or you gotta be. Anyway, we'll just kind of cross that bridge as we get to it.
Well, we kind of need to know where everything is first and everything there.
Yeah, but the fire part of it, I think that I can just approach the different, homeowners there. Mm-hmm. He's meant to say, hey, some blackberries and some trees, and I'd be glad to mark them, but, would you have any objection to getting rid of them? So, and then, just go through the,
right.
Be nice about it.
What's the total length on that spot?
On the road?
Yeah.
I think it's, that's a little bit.
I don't know.
I think it's a little over half a mile.
It's a distance, yeah.
Somewhere between a half and 3/4.
Yeah, it's a good run.
Yeah. A lot of people walk it. I mean, the dog and the whole thing.
Okay. Our gap impedance mismatch between the county and our finance.
Yeah.
Problem.
So I got a couple, two calls that I'm going to return. Just got them today.
Of candidates?
So, yeah.
Okay.
So there's actually three calls, but one of them. Thanks. And, but anyway, I'll call.
So, are they, any of them familiar with?
I'll find out.
Workday.
I'll find out.
Okay.
Because that was pretty explicit. But, I'm not objectionable to someone.
Who could learn it,
If they know a system that's similar.
Yeah, they're going to be computers.
Yeah.
Okay, so
applications.
That's on the agenda for next month.
Yeah, that one will.
Results of the interview.
Now our famous parcels.
So
we don't have a quarter yet on that.
Didn't we decide to hire a surveyor?
But we're going to talk to the Bellers to find out if they knew where the corners were, and then get the surveyor to come find the other corners from the corners that they found.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
So.
That's on hold right now.
It's on the to-do list.
To do.
Wow.
Yeah, I told you it was going to be a short one. Usually it goes to like 9:30.
We have a marathon.
We're all like, okay.
Did anybody find out what we have to do paperwork-wise to put the property, once we get it surveyed and get the easements dedicated, then we have to put it out to the public?
I'm going to be relying on Diane.
Okay.
I do have like the breakdown of the procedure for that. So when we get to that juncture, it's essentially there's a resolution saying that there's no use or projected use for that property for the district, and that's by resolution. And then a public hearing gets set, and that it's, going to be offered up for sale, so that there's input to that, whether, the district says, no, we don't want you to sell it, or fine, go ahead, sell it. And then it goes up for a bidding process.
Yeah, but it has to go through the public agencies before we can offer it to the private, right?
Yeah, the Board of Supervisors also has to sign off on it.
Yeah.
That's what I thought, because you mentioned before that some of the people on the adjacent lots might be interested in purchasing.
Well, there's one person that backs up to it.
Yeah.
On Barbara.
Barbara. I call it Barbara Court, but it's all Barbara Lane. But
yeah.
So she's the one that's interested, but also the Bellers were interested in buying the two parcels if we were ever to sell them.
Okay.
Remember?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they asked for it first. So.
Well, again, a bit. Didn't we talk about like just doing a trail easement on those?
That will be after the appraisal when we hopefully find a corner. So the appraisal won't be as expensive. Then once the appraisal's done, or the surveys, not this appraisal, a survey is done, then Tiffany will get us the trail easements, and then we can dedicate.
Tiffany said Metaverse Digital could hold the easement in trust for public use, like they've done with other land parcels, and part some of them have been with Placer Land Trust and private, you know, so that there's interchanges between trail access or trailheads. So she's quite versed in securing those and holding them under the nonprofit.
Yeah, so once they get surveyed, then we get that done, and then we can put it up for sale. And
after we get the trailers approved,
so they know what they're buying.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So just kind of bringing up to date, the district owns two parcels that are sort of in between Whit Road and Stanley Drive, and it's a really steep slope, and it's real pretty if you walk by. And there's someone that butts up next to it that was just kind of threw out the comment, hey, you'd be interested in purchasing this land. And so that's how it became an agenda item.
Gotcha.
We don't really pay any property taxes or anything on it. It's just land that's just out there. So
it was one of them has wetlands, so it's not quote buildable on.
We didn't, when we went to see it, Don and I went to see it, the property, because the people on Stanley, their property runs directly in between these two parcels. So one of them looked like it was pretty wet, and the one that the lady from Barbara Court wants to buy, that's the better of the two, right? Yeah. So.
Oh, yeah. Marlon's house on stilts or something.
Yeah.
12 feet off the ground.
Yeah.
I call it anyway.
Okay, here we go.
At one time, there was to be a lake right there. And then those properties would have been like right on the lake.
Right.
But
be a nice recreation place, but
there wasn't
any
lake.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, because the lake was supposed to be mostly on behind the houses on Whit Road, people have to pay flood insurance because Robin and Teresa said they have to pay flood insurance because there's no lake there, and I don't know how to get it off. But it's really ridiculous.
I got his own lakefront. It never showed up.
pay a surplus to run the fair plan, but then we get flood insurance to it. You think that somehow people kind of make a little compromise.
crazy.
Alright, you wanted to share it?
Yeah, I did.
What's that?
We're on our last slide on our
chart. Yay!
Yeah, the quickie. Except we have another one next Tuesday, so it kind of balances out.
Yeah.
Okay, so I noted here what the letters, there's nothing new here, but the letters out to the sheriff, and we're waiting.
Mm-hmm.
Road realignment, waiting feedback from the attorney, I've just marked it that way. And this is, so yeah, we have ideas on additional ideas.
What is that, the one in court?
Yeah, it's the leak, the threat assessment.
Oh, okay.
And part of it is locating the pipe, right? So, we talked about it earlier. And
Diana was talking about May 21st or something like that. They're announcing that.
May 21st. Awards. Okay. Fast grant. They're just ongoing. That's
just ongoing.
Okay. Yeah, this.
The last three are just ongoing.
Just curious, do you have any ideas on pipe condition assessment technologies?
Kind of. I used to be a pipeline inspector.
Okay.
With City of Grass Valley, depending on what kind of pipe, what you're looking for.
Just like there's ways.
Well, there's two camps that, to my understanding, there's like the AWA. Anyway, there's the national one, and then there's the California one.
Okay.
The California one says that the AC pipe lasts about 50 years, and we're at 60. And the national one says that the AC pipe is good for like 100 years. But the more that we talk about it, the more we come to realize it has more to do with the bedding that the pipe is in than and the softness of the inside of the pipe.
Right. Yeah, and so that's over the years. It's been a lot of things, like working in Sacramento, working in the north. They can't run copper pipe. They have to get away from it because it used to be agriculture. A lot of the soil is very acidic, so it eats away at the copper. And for me, coming down there, we learned that like the downtown area, we would run more copper pipe versus using like a polyurethane. So a lot of like to that notion is a lot of differences with soil material. When I was doing pipeline inspection, lot with like sewer systems, things like that. Clay pipe we found was the longest lasting. You know, it was the most fragile, but it's the most relatable to the soil that it's in. Versus like we always made the joke that the soil's rejecting, you know, plastic pipe. You know, you'll have plastic pipe that goes in that they will estimate for 75 years, and 20 years down the road, we have an entire community of area that we're pulling plastic pipe out. You can't repair it, you put a clamp on it, it just crumbles. So it was always a joke, the dirt's holding the pipe together. So it is, and then we've seen acidic water through treatment facilities. You know, everybody started going into more lime softening to coat the pipes. Sacramento, we were really good about cathodic protection. Putting in for a lot of steel pipes. And so we would end up doing that with the maintenance. You put a sacrificial in the pipe, and then we would routinely dig those up and replace them to make sure that it's eating that away. And then we can also see the deterioration of what the pipe would be throughout the mains. So then you can develop more of a pipeline assessment on the expected time frame before that pipe will fail.
This is, what do they call it? Asbestos concrete.
Yeah, concrete is
that's pretty nasty,
primarily is mostly what's in the district.
Yeah.
what was it, 5 different contractors over?
Several different developers.
Yeah, several different developers over.
Six different developers.
Yeah, over a almost period of time. Because there's roughly 660 connections in the industry.
Gotcha.
And so, you know, certain areas got developed before others, and then
And
some contractors do a better job at putting pipe in than others. And, you know, so, yeah.
Right.
But that's the material.
Yes.
And so, of the, I hear everything you said, but of the developers that develop Christian Valley, like in your area, they're all on wells,
mm-hmm.
and they chose not to be a part of the district.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
But then in 2006, that's when the wells in that area started going dry,
mm-hmm.
and what was interesting about it was it's like a patchwork. Well, this lot, 55 gallons a minute. This lot, 55 gallons a week. Just really
wow.
stark contrast. And they're both 5-acre parcels.
Hmm.
And so then they would be running a hose from one house to the next
wow.
just to
mm.
supply water so
right.
they didn't have to move away. And 2 years later, about, 2 years, 2008, is when the pipe was extended. We call it the Gale Loop.
Yeah,
what was the upper rail of that pipe?
That's the
C900. Yeah, I read that when we were buying, and I'm awesome because I think I talked with 49er on we heard over the years of Christian Valley is a lot of AC pipe, which is very, very challenging for maintenance, repair, and upkeep. And so when we were buying, we found out kind of what you were saying. We had 3 wells essentially located on the property, and the old homeowner was telling us the one at the bottom is not a very high yield. It never actually ended up running. The one next to the house was a better producer, but they split the parcel. So I drilled another one and I split, and he and that one is okay, but you know, started not performing as well. And then the pipeline came in. It's like, and it's great water pressure. I think we average like 105 PSI there, which is awesome. That's incredible.
Probably should have a reducer before your house.
We do.
Even though
yep.
the shower feels really
good. Yep. One we do. We have two homes on the property. So it splits from that throughout them. But yeah. But no, it's awesome.
Yeah.
And I've been watching kind of the thing for the chemo loop. Kind of seeing that project.
Yeah. That project is pretty much on hold because it's like literally $1 million project
mm-hmm.
To loop that. But then there's a central pipe that goes from the tanks down to Greg Way. And
okay.
then aside from the properties that are up at the same level as the tanks, Ponderex and Westridge Circle and Westridge Avenue, one side. Aside from those properties that are at the same level, they're on a pressure, you know, the pneumatic tank. But then there's a 10-inch pipe, I believe, that goes down, you know, through people's property. No lines are connected to it, but it's just a line that goes down, and 90% of the district is off of that one piece. And it's about $1 million pipe to replace.
Oh, gotcha.
And so for proper redundancy, if the engineer says that's the pipe to focus on, the loop, it's nice,
right.
but this one benefits, you know,
right.
basically everybody.
Gotcha.
We had a break, what, how many years ago?
Where?
The one on the...
Oh, yeah, that was on that 10-inch.
In that one?
Yeah, that was on that 10-inch or Stanley. And it shut down a whole section of the district.
90%.
Yeah.
Well, they basically shut down the whole place.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So that's it got everybody's attention. So.
Yeah. Well, that's it. When I was seeing the plans and the the proposal, it was like makes sense. You know, it's one branch in that then serves the next section of the community, and from being the water side, it's harder to maintain on that to maintain water quality on the far end on one pipeline versus a
right.
system. So it was, and there's no redundancy. So it was like I was looking at it, like.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Makes sense.
We just have to get the money in place to be able to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. When there's 633 customers spraying out $1 million is quite the feat.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
So.
Okay.
Website for the good cause.
Website.
Anything you want to talk about?
anything on the website? Joe, website on the website?
No, I haven't put it on.
We had the audio.
Too busy.
Rolling 12 month of the archive, audio archives. That's done, right? As expected.
I believe so.
I should look at
we'll,
it.
We'll talk to Scott.
I'll leave it. Okay.
I'll look at it again.
And yeah, this is exactly what we were talking about earlier. The 10 inch. Okay.
Oh, there's a chat. Look at us.
Oh, who do we got?
Oh, there's no audio. There is no.
Oh, the website.
Yeah.
To answer the question. Okay, so. I'll leave it there as an action. I'll talk to Scott about it next time. And that's it for this. Let's see. So back onto the agenda. And the agenda items. Any agenda items we need to add for the June 23rd? Oh, and everyone note that we've shifted the date of that June meeting, by the way,
yeah.
to June 23rd.
Yeah, the 23rd.
So, on the agenda for June, I'd like to put on the direct charges for the standby water fee and also the Gale Lube properties. So on your property taxes, there's a Gale Lube
mm-hmm.
piece, 600 and change.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
So what is it going to add on the
What does that fall
on? The direct charges for standby and give.
As a discussion item?
Question?
No, no. It's just an agenda item.
Okay.
It's two resolutions.
Yeah, that we have to do every year.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
When will that Gale Lube fall off?
I think it was 2040.
Got a ways to go.
Yeah. It's been refinanced. And it took,
okay.
was 2050 or something like that, and then refinanced and got to 2040.
Okay.
It started out, I think it was like around $900. And then they,
I think that's what ours was at.
Ours is at 6.
Oh, it is 6?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So
yeah.
I heard the 9 then.
Yeah, so it was, my memory's not great on it, but it was a pretty good reduction in,
okay.
in the annual cost. And then also a year's reduction too.
Gotcha.
So, and then a better interest rate. So it was
right.
like a huge win. And we were doing the loan for the tanks that and the bond council could do both of them. Two projects.
And when interest rates were low.
Yeah.
Got it when it was good.
Really low.
Yeah, it was 2.2.
Oh yeah, got it when it was good.
We'll take more.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well, the whole thing started out because the tank site was open at one time, and then we had a bladder in there, and then they told us we could not replace the bladder, we had to put tanks in. So then, because we were spending all kinds of money repairing the bladder and diverbs and the whole nine yards, and it was gotten to the point where we had to replace it. And when we went to the state and said we want to replace it, they said you will put tanks in.
Mm.
So we went.
Yeah. Huh.
So the funding from USDA said we don't fund hyperbole, the floating cover.
Okay.
But if we wanted to fund it ourselves, that was big.
Yeah.
Then they wouldn't, because there's no loan involved.
Okay.
The funding side of USDA is like, sure, we can. So, anyway.
Hmm.
But now we have two steel tanks and we have that sacrificial diode thing
okay.
in both
yep.
tanks. And
oh, gotcha.
They get looked at every year.
Because was it just a basin with a cover, like an open wet well, I'm guessing? Because I think that's kind of what we ran into at Grass Valley. Same thing, we used it. It was like almost $1 million to replace the cover for our wet well water storage. And finally, it was just, we have to build tanks. There's no way of continuing to maintain the cover for the water system.
The cover was deteriorating.
Okay, yeah.
But to replace it with like kind, it was, I want to say it was like $500,000.
Yeah.
So you had $300,000 or $500,000.
Okay.
Getting back.
Right.
Way back, or you know, yeah. A while ago. And, but then there's an inlet that had a leak, and there was other problems that were happening along with that, and then it just became one tank or two. So then the board said, because we could have left the reservoir, you know, and just put another cover on it, but then it would be wise to have another source so that we could take one out of
right.
service.
Yep.
And use the other tank, so you know. Anyway,
makes
so,
sense.
So the two tanks, and it was a big project.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was big.
For our little district, it was like whoa.
And no one really sees it. I mean, no one wants to see it either. But I mean. It's like an unseen,
yeah.
And you know, it's like a nice running car, you know,
yeah.
Everybody enjoys a nice running car, but when it breaks, and everyone's like, what?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, I should have been maintaining something.
Yeah, so our next hurdle, if you will, is obviously keeping it on the pipe.
It's like a 10-inch pipe.
Yeah, and that's our...
That's a big project.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because at some point, that pipe's gonna have to be replaced, you know. So we're looking for options there.
Absolutely.
It would be ideal if the district could just hire a couple of guys and a major backhoe and just start it.
Just rip the band-aid off and make
I'm
it happen.
Serious.
Like
yeah.
Back in the day when people used
yeah.
to do stuff like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Not anything else? Do I have a motion to adjourn?
May I just add one thing? Being we've kind of thrown the public off, so to speak, for June's regular meeting, maybe put that on the front page of the website just to, as a reminder that it's a temporary meeting.
The pattern changes, yeah, just for June.
Right. And that's all. And I'll move to adjourn after that.
Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Thanks,
Ray. Mm-hmm. And do we take a roll call on that?
Oh, yeah, roll call. Dan?
Hi.
Joanne?
Hi.
Greg?
Hi.
Reed?
Hi.
Diane?
Hi. Hi, good night.
Hi, see you Tuesday. Again.
Yeah.
I sent you the link to this document.
So, is the budget
huh?
meeting next Tuesday
mm-hmm.
or Wednesday?
Tuesday.
The 19th, usual time, right?
19th. Okay.
Thank you guys for coming.
Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Pleasure meeting you. Thank you for your suggestions, too. Really
absolutely.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime.
Thanks for all
of
you.
All right. That's it.
Bye.
Bye. Okay.
So it's Tuesday.
Stop
so
recording.
Wednesday,
yeah, well,
so I've got to change it.
Make sure my calendar's got it right.
I think today's the 12th, so next week will be
the 19th. The math works. But